gentle silliness across the ages. The future is coming, and you have to help to shape it. You will be in your mid-80s when you pause to look around. You do not want to see a sad world that you wish you could have fixed somehow. The elder you should witness brilliant and see nothing less than perfect hope. And there is a fine and fair limit to how far a hero should aim, and the best of that is sharing your wisdom. You have to live courageously to get at that wisdom, but then you also have to pass it on, at the very least, so that the elder you has no regrets. Of course, you can't force someone to read a book, but you can create one that people will want to read. And it has to be, or should be, a lot more than a mere book of wisdom. The bulk of your sharing is best captured on audio, so that your feelings go along with your text. And because people should be able to take you on adventures, and you can't expect them to watch a video or a lecture, as they will probably need to watch where they are going. But you can trust them to hear you, not just to listen, but to hear you. It is difficult to formulate something that enriches that other person, that enables them to go further, and they will want to hear real ideas, ideas from real life. People won't always have time for abstract things. And on top of that, even wisdom from true life can get a bit dry from time to time. But there is something, and that something is gentle and sophisticated humor. And there's a way to do it that is very authentic. Here is a small recipe on how you can sprinkle some delicate humor into your works. Go to an otherwise ordinary place, although somewhere interesting, and begin sharing your ideas while letting the place that you are in speak for itself. Maybe you'll set off for London, Westminster Abbey, to see Sir Newton, and sit somewhere, notepad in hand, and just kind of watch for interesting things. It could be a lovely couple that comes around, though adorably old-fashioned, and you'll be able to describe their fidgeting or guess what their days may be like, or where they came from, or when they came from. Ooh. Or it could be a nerdy person who, like you, came to pay respects to Sir Newton. Though dressed impeccably well, you would notice the crossbone cufflinks. Nerd, you'd scribble in your journal and underline it twice. Crossbones are Sir Newton's coat of arms. And here you'd spend a page and a half analyzing the young lady's scientific interests. Could it be optics? Perhaps astrography? Could it be something as simple as gravitation and old-school orbital dynamics? Calculus? Generative art? Maybe. You know what? Probably. If you were to visit all the philosophers that have ever moved you, perch upon their resting place and scribble lovely observations and notes, you would create a book that would be impossible to put down, and a book that would call to your readers. Make no mistake, what I am describing here is also a school. This is a school that you build with your soul and heart and loveliness. There is scarcely a much nobler contribution than an everlasting school of thought. And as your students learn, you become a kind of a hero to the world, the type that Philip Zimbardo encourages us to become. The best kind of a school isn't one to pull strangers in, but one that they wish to reach out for, one that they wish to keep near their heart. Sometimes, for some, your cheerful wisdom may represent more knowledge than learned and forgotten in years of schools. And don't forget that old philosophers teach us that wisdom is timeless. So you could be helping your readers to your wisdom hundreds of years in the future.